If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, drinking a far too hot cup of coffee far too quickly. Welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
I had to think about it there for a second. That's all good.
And today we will be talking about the Spyro Reignited Trilogy and other games. Alright, Spyro has followed the same trajectory as Crash Bandicoot and has a recent re-release of the first three games in the franchise. Mm-hmm. Spyro, Spyro the Dragon, mm-hmm. Spyro Ripto's Rage, mm-hmm. and Spyro Year of the Dragon.
Man, Spyro's Ripto's Rage sounds really like it should be Spyro Ripto's Revenge, doesn't it?
Yes, and I actually thought it was called that until
yeah,
I learned
it. Me too, that's weird. Anyway,
I don't know anything about Spyro other than I think he's a dragon.
He's
correct?
Small purple dragon.
Yes.
Has yellow horns.
I have played Spyro Ripto's Rampage. No, Rage.
Rage, yes. That seems to be everyone's first Spyro, because that was mine as well. Mm. I only played the first one a little bit, and then never got super into the third, but finished the second. Mm. So recently on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, they re-released, the first three Spyro games, mm-hmm. as I've established. And I got them the other day on PS4. Mm-hmm. And here are my thoughts.
Wow.
I feel like we just took 4 hours to go down the road.
You know when
like a racehorse finishes like a lap,
yeah.
and they're like, why do we run so fast? We're where we started. Yeah,
that's exactly what they felt like.
Look, turn left or you could take three rides. And I'm a three rides kind of boy. So I'll start with the obvious stuff. So just full disclaimer, I have finished the first Spyro now. Mm-hmm. I've almost finished the second one and I've put 8 hours into the game.
All right.
So, So it's not long. Mm. It plays very much like a platformer from a collectathon platformer where everything is collectible.
Mm. Of course.
Very similar to a certain game you were describing last week, Jackson.
Ape-based platformer.
Yes, except the first Spyro falls more into the Banjo-Kazooie kind of spectrum rather than the Donkey Kong 64, where there's a lot to collect, but it's manageable. Sure. And the levels are pretty small, relatively straightforward, so it's easy to follow. In the first one, basically all you need to do is collect free dragons, collect dragon eggs, and gems.
Okay.
Which is fine. To progress through the level, you need to have found a certain amount of dragons that lets you fight the boss. The next one, you have to find a certain amount of blah, 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 blah. Beat it in 4.5 hours without really trying.
So is it a game for babies?
It's not. It's just that if you've played platformers before, it's all very straightforward, except for like weird stuff.
Okay.
So there's no real learning curve. The first level and the last level aren't that much different, except like, so your character can charge, breathe fire, and like glide. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, like you have to do like trickier glides, but yeah, that's pretty much the only difference. And some of the enemies, your fire breath won't work, so you have to like ram certain things into them.
Is it the kind of thing, sorry to jump in, but you know, back in the day, like an early PlayStation 1 platformer or whatever, part of the difficulty was that the controls were so garbage and the camera was so annoying that added like a level of complexity to the game. Is it like that?
Yes, except because these have been remade, that is not an issue. The controls and the graphics, very, very good. The controls are really smooth and the graphics look great. Like when I turned it on, I literally was like, wow, this looks very good.
I really like that. That sounded like you were going to, that was like the highest level of shock for you. Not like a, oh my God, wow.
It literally blew me off the couch. I was like, wow. They've added a lot of voice work, cutscenes, stuff like that. It's fine.
So is this just like a, hey, do you remember this game? Here's a big heaping pile of nostalgia.
Well, kind of, except I played Spyro 1. So like I said, I finished Spyro 1 in one sitting. And I don't have any nostalgia for Spyro 1. Yeah. So I pretty much finished it and was like, oh, cool.
It dropped from a wow to an ah, cool.
Wow. Ah, cool. Spyro 1.
That's on the cover. It says, wow, .. Ah, cool. .. Joel Dusha.
And also, like, the games start without really explaining anything, which is classic also for this era. So it means that most of the fumbling around happens right at the start of the game. Then they explain stuff that you already needed to know. Spyro 2 actually lampshade. What do I mean?
Gaslight.
Flagposts, I think, is
lampshades.
Points out.
There we go.
That's not lampshades or gaslight.
Flagpost? I think it's flagpost.
Signpost.
Signpost.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Whoa. Wow.
We got there.
So Spyro 2 actually signposts this because you have to have got like a gem and an orb and a talisman to get to this point. And then one of the characters is like, I forgot to tell you about orbs. So these do this thing. And I was like, okay, sick.
So in Spyro 1.
Spyro 1.
It's just like, collect these orbs. And no one thought to ask why.
So there's halfway through the game, they start talking about retrieving stolen treasure. And I was like, what? Then realized that it was the gems I'd already been collecting for the entire game.
That's great.
Because, again, there's portals from... So, basically, it's kind of similar to, I guess, a Banjo-Kazooie, where there's an... Or Mario 64, where there's an overworld, there is portals to levels in that overworld. Mm-hmm. But the Spyro structure is that there's one overworld, like, six levels, including a boss, and then you go to the next overworld.
Like
same
Diddy
thing.
Kong Racing.
Like Diddy Kong Racing.
Cool.
Except to get from one to the next, you need to... It's like, in Spyro 1, it's like, hey, you need to free 10 dragons. Say, hey, good job jumping this hot air balloon. We'll take you to the next overworld.
Okay.
But because I was just collecting things that were popping up in front of me, the gem things, which are pretty much like the equivalent of like coins, they're everywhere. Mm. Every time I got to one, I'd already like got the right amount. So when they were talking about stolen treasure, I was like, what is this? The thing I have.
That's great.
Cool. So yeah,
great.
Finished the game with 69%.
Nice.
4 hours, 45. Mm. And yeah, that was one sitting with a dinner break.
I like the idea of find the treasure. You mean this? Yeah.
You did it. It's like every time in Skyrim you'd go up and they'd be like, I need you to find this magic crown. You'd be like,
this magic crown?
Because I'm just a kleptomaniac.
Yes.
Why do you have that crown? You just take a crown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Look pretty.
Yeah. Finished that one. Started the second one, which I have nostalgia for, albeit.
Yeah.
I remember finishing it as a child in one day, so you can kind of imagine how my journey through this one is going so far.
Is Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage the one with the skateboarding levels, or are they in Spyro 1?
No, that's Spyro 3.
Oh man, they ruled.
Which, look,
maybe I have played all the Spyros.
Maybe.
Disclaimer, haven't got up to 3 yet, because I haven't finished. I saw a clocked Spyro 1.
Oh, famously
clocked
Spyro 1, that's right. Thumb
cramps clocking.
Yep.
Spyro 2 is well on its way.
To clock town.
Yeah. I'm at the second boss, which I know is this. Like, there's only 3 bosses in the game.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, short.
Oh.
So I know that I'm pretty close, and I'm at like 45%.
What was
the
price point for all this, out of curiosity?
See, that's
in
one
Aussie
thing.
Dollars?
Pretty cheap. $59 Australian dollars from stores, or $79 from the PlayStation.
That's not
store.
Terrible, because from memory, Year of the Dragon or whatever it is decently long.
I think.
Because that came out for PS2, didn't it?
Well, this, no, all PS1 games.
Okay.
Something that I want to point out, and something that Thumbcramp, all those Thumbcrampers out there might find, there's a website called How Long to Beat.
Sure.
Which is a database, everyone enters their details, and it tells you on average how long it will take you to beat a game. So when I started playing the Spyro games, I just had a quick look. On average, just to complete, and it's broken down into like main story plus extras. So for those people that won't 100% the game, but will like mess around a bit, and then completionist. Spyro 1, it's 6.5 hours for the first one, 7.5 hours for the second one, and like 9 for the third.
Okay.
But since I beat the first one in 4.5 hours.
Let's do that math.
So it'll be like 4.5, 5.5, 7.
Yeah.
So those are all beaten in a day.
Yeah, that's rough.
One thing is that I'm going to start with my gripes, and as you could probably tell already, I beat it, but felt nothing.
Yeah, sure.
There was no satisfaction whatsoever. The final boss in Spyro 1 takes 2 hits.
Oh, that feels very wrong.
And not because, like, Spyro's not a game where you level anything up. It's just 2 basic hits. You just have to solve a puzzle, hit him once, solve another puzzle, hit him again, dead.
That just goes against all video game, like, innate rule of boss logic. Mm-hmm. That's like if every time you fight a boss and you get the 3rd one and then it's still alive and you're like, hold on.
Wait.
What the hell? Yeah.
It also does this weird thing. So I'm playing it on PS4, so there's trophies or achievements, whatever they're called. Trophies.
Yeah.
You don't get one for finishing the game. And that bothered me a lot.
That's very strange.
Like, yeah, that's great. You get achievements for, like, weird stuff. Like, hey, you beat this level without touching the lava, but there's none for finishing the story. And I had a look, and none of them have it. And I don't like that at all.
Is it just because it's so easy? They're like, well, you shouldn't be rewarded for this.
There's not even one for, like, 100%. I thought it was like, oh, maybe there's one for 100%ing it. No, there's one. It's not for getting all the other trophies, but every game has that.
That's very
a trophy
strange.
For getting all the trophies. What a That's good trophy.
King of the trophies.
Oh.
But, yeah. So I'm like halfway through the second one, the one that I thought I had nostalgia for, still feeling nothing.
Okay.
It's real weird. It plays, it's way smoother to control than Crash Bandicoot, which I guess is
the most obvious comparison.
Ask,
how does it, because you have played the Crash Bandicoot.
I had a lot more fun with Crash Bandicoot, but Crash Bandicoot made me so angry at points.
Well, Crash Bandicoot is an incredibly frustrating game. Spyro is very gentle. Crash has some edge to him.
Yeah. So I've written down just like a few things, weird things that bothered me. So number one is the trophies thing. Mm-hmm. Give me a trophy for finishing the game. Because now if I delete that and lose my save progress.
Yeah, you got nothing.
I got nothing to show that I beat it. Not that I would, but I hate that. And I don't know why.
It's sitting somewhere in your brain like, I did something and I want recognition.
Like, there's a trophy in the second one, for instance, for finding the first gem. Why give me one for that, but not for finishing the game?
You know what frustrates me in a similar vein with video games? Is when you finish the game and it gives you the credits and you're back at the menu, but if you go continue, you jump back into the last chapter of the game.
Before the boss fight rather than after the boss fight?
Because otherwise, I don't feel like I finished it. And then you're just stuck in a terrible loop.
Yeah, so
Gex 3D did that to me, and I'll never forgive Gex.
Yeah, games should... You should start in the overworld, but the boss is defeated.
Yeah, or just make me be like, you finished it, complete, start again. That I'd be so happy with either of them. But making me go back to the final chapter without still got to kill the boss? Mm. Oh.
Spyro 1 finishes with... You get taken back to the overworld of the boss, but then there's a dragon statue in the middle of the last one.
Yeah.
And then you crack that open, the dragon's like, hey, congratulations for killing that guy. If you 100% the game, you'll unlock this hidden world. Have fun. And then I loaded Spyro 2 because I'm not going to 100% it.
Because I know what I'm about. It's not 100% the thing.
One thing that also sat wrong with me is Spyro seems very much like a big nerd trying to be cool.
Okay.
Rather than a cool guy. And that feels wrong as a mascot. Crash Bandicoot, dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Cool.
Only wears jeans, no shirt. Doesn't talk even though the rest of the Bandicoots do.
Cool.
Cool. Spyro, little nerdly.
Yeah.
Might as well wear glasses. Voiced by Elijah Wood in one of the games.
Yes! In the 2008 game.
If anything I know about Elijah Wood, he does not scream cool.
Yeah.
He screams nerd.
But, like, Spyro's all, like, bit yeehaw and like, yeah, I'm gonna kick this guy's butt. But also, like, you just shut up. Just shut up. You're so unlikable, Spyro.
Second, would you have rather that every time you defeat a boss, he just lights up a cigarette and he's like, cool.
Wow. Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah,
cool.
Just there nonchalant. Every time he breathes fire and makes an explosion, he just looks away.
Yeah, he's got, whatever. He's got big teen energies, but young teenagers, so that they're like...
Big doing... tween energy.
Yes!
That's great. Would you rather like, we're going to kick their butts, or... from Crash Bandicoot, and I know where my allegiances lie, with the maniac.
Give me gibberish.
Yeah, I'd like...
Yeah, just give me a feral dragon that is collecting gems and treasure, not for like some purpose, just because it's there. Sometimes, it's in his way.
Sometimes Crash Bandicoot explodes a box with no wump of fruit in it, and that's what I'm about. He's just doing it for the sheer love of damaging his body against wood.
Spyro, on the other hand, makes no sound when he dies, where Crash is like, whoa!
Crash is offended. He has been killed.
And the death animations of Crash, yeah, oh, they're graphic.
They were dead.
When you kill Crash, you kill Crash.
How does Spyro die?
Kind of similar. He has, like, if he gets hit, he does, like, a spin and then just falls over.
Okay.
Lava 1 is kind of similar to Crash's, except he turns to a crisp, falls down, and then just, like, disintegrates. Oh,
that's nice. Okay, that's when good. You cut him in half, what happens?
There's no cutting.
That's a very Crash thing.
There's also, there's also the one where he classic, like, gets flat and then just, like, floats down like paper and then it's game classic. Over. Speaking of all of that stuff, this is a good segue, I guess, into something else that just really hit a wrong part of my brain. It has late 90s, early 2000s humor, and it stands out so bad.
Oh, I can imagine.
Good.
So
good. Can we get a sweet example?
I can give you a couple. One, you get health from killing the cute animals.
Okay, of course. Classic.
Which is funny. Like, I get it. But also, like, it's just not something that's funny anymore. It's like, you're killing all these, like, horrible, giant, grotesque monsters, but if you shoot these innocent sheep, you get health.
Imagine if that happened in, like, an Uncharted. If Nathan Drake kills a child, his health will go up.
What'd it be like if Red Dead gave you health for killing a dog?
Yeah, instead of just being like, don't do that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I would understand if the game let you do it, because it's, like, just stuff in the nature and whatever. That's fine. Like, not in... It's part of the environment of the game. Yeah. So, like, I get it if you're like, ha ha ha, because then that's for the player's enjoyment kind of thing. The fact that The Sims lets you drown Sims.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is, like, built into the game, it's clear, like, ha, hey, that's funny.
See what we're doing. We're putting, maybe you're the monster.
Spyro having a long, hard look at himself in the mirror. Is he a good guy, really?
The game does not address that, shockingly.
What?
Characters moon you?
Okay. That's very early.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, it's good about Mario 64, Super Mario 64.
None of that. No jokes.
Humorless game.
Lots of, like, cutscenes of, like,
characters' pants getting pulled down. No, like, people
bad,
tripping over.
Bad guys tripping over and tricking. Lots of tricks. Pranks, I should probably say.
It doesn't sound great.
Also, and, look, I'm assuming that these games are way better with nostalgia. Something that I thought I had for Spyro, but I don't really. I've had a lot of friends since I bought this be like, oh my god, I'm so excited to play Spyro 2. So maybe when they come over and play it, and then I see the joy that they get out of it, that'll make me feel better and I'll remember my childhood more. But I've definitely finished Spyro 2, but maybe because I beat it in a day.
I remember playing, because when I was a kid, finished of the Crash Bandicoots. I finished Crash Bandicoot Warped. And I got the secret level. I 100%, like, I didn't 100% it, but I went all out. Recently, I think we got it, and I played a bit of Crash Bandicoot Warped, and I was like, this game is terrible. So I think just sometimes we hit a point with games where we're like, actually, we stopped making games like this for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they're just not that good.
Well, maybe the nostalgia.
Crash Bandicoot is just frustrating and long.
Crash Bandicoot rules. You shut your mouth. If you want to go after anyone, go after Spyro. Because, again, I don't know if this maybe, like, I was slightly too old, so nostalgia didn't sink in. But I'm noticing with Spyro falls into the same category as this is totally unrelated to video games, but Harry Potter for me, where I thought that I had a huge attachment to it, and then just had a realization when I was revisiting it, being like, oh, wait, actually, I don't. It's just nothing there. The last thing I want to talk about is a nitpicky thing again. And this is in Spyro 2, once more. There is a character in this game that is the most annoying character in the history of video games.
Wow.
And this dirtbag's name is Moneybags, and I hate him so much.
What does he do that's annoying?
So he's part of, like, the hero's troop, but he charges a fee for everything. So, like, he'll be like, hey, I found this bridge, 200 gems, and you can cross it. But then in cutscenes,
he's a friend of Spyro.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, I could teach you how to swim for 500 gems. Be a shame if I forgot. Oh, that also reminds me. Spyro 2 suffers heaps from the fact that they bring in a new mechanic in the very start of the game, which is the first time Spyro can swim.
Yeah.
So the first third of the game has so many underwater levels, and it's 3D platforming, they are garbage.
Okay.
Ugh. But yeah, Moneybags. Shut up. He's annoying to look at. He's like...
I don't know. I kind of like him being like, hey, you can swim, but you gotta give me some money for it. No, I'm liking it.
Moneybags is a great
name. No, because he's a big coward as well. So like all the cartoons, oh, Ripto!
Nah, you're...
He's a bear with a monocle, I think, or maybe a dog.
I remember Moneybags. He sucks. He's all right.
Yeah. He sucks.
You're endearing him to me, Dusha. You're like, he's a greedy boy, you coward, bear with a monocle.
It's on the bag that has a picture of a gem on it.
Yes, please.
Maybe Moneybags is great.
I hate him.
Ever think about that? Maybe he's the best.
Anyway, in conclusion, game's too short. I have no nostalgia for it. Moneybags sucks. It's overly sexualized. But it's all right. Three thumbs and a knuckle.
All right.
Wow, really?
Three thumbs and
after
a knuckle?
After all of that? Oh, wow.
How many games do you know that you've put 8 hours in 2 days over?
Look, fair. Look,
oh, yeah, okay, good point.
And you know what I'm going to do after I finish recording this? Go home and finish the second one.
I was going to say.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. Maybe somewhere. Maybe I'll have nostalgia for the third one, a game I do not remember playing.
It sounds maybe you actually like these games.
Oh, they're
feels
very...
like maybe you are Spider-Man-ing this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe you do like
it. I have no desire to 100% it. I'm not going to go back to the games. That... I think it's more just like, I know I'm towards the end of the second one.
Well, I guess it's also probably you're like, the first one was 6 hours. You could clock them all.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Probably take no time out of your day.
So basically, at this point in my life, I have finished the first one. I'm 2/3 of the way through the second one. And then when I finish the second one, which will presumably take 2 hours.
If that.
I'm then... 2/3 of the way through the entire game.
Yeah,
I might as well finish it.
I mean, I guess.
I will not 100% it, and I will still be angry when I finish the second one and don't get a bloody achievement for it. That's ridiculous.
That is insane.
Activision, pull your socks up.
All right, three and a half.
No, I'm docking a knuckle because I just remember the achievement. That's just dumb.
See what I mean? You're also angry about this game. I'm surprised it's clocking 2 knuckles.
No, yeah. It's getting 3 because I understand that I am putting hours into it. I am having...
Sounds like you're not having a good time.
It's the same. I think the same feeling you had with Spider-Man, where I'm having a fine time, but it's not like filling me up. It's just junk food. There's no...
I feel if you were jet lagged, this game might be great.
Yeah.
No, like... I'm getting no satisfaction out of it, though. Like, I don't feel like I'm overcoming a challenge.
You're sounding angrier by the moment. It just feels like this is worth maybe
2.5 thumbs.
No, I'm sticking with 3.
Better than average.
Yeah.
All right.
It's cheap. It's well made. The villain, like the level designs in at least the second one, are interesting.
The villain is compelling.
The villain
has some depth to it.
He's got some good ideas about killing this Spyro lad.
Ripto just like comes through a portal accidentally and then is like, oh, I like this castle, it'll be mine. And then they're like, oh,
that is a good villain. I like this Ripto character.
Yeah. The villain of the first one is just like, I couldn't even tell you. Who knows?
Three out of five.
The second one, though, Spyro just wants to go to the beach.
Couldn't That's tell pretty you good. Who the villain is.
No, his name's 3 out of 5. His name's Nasty Nork. I just don't know why he's the villain. I don't know why I killed him, but I did.
Maybe Spyro is the wrong horse. Maybe Spyro does need to take a long, hard look in the mirror. Is Spyro the bad guy? Time will tell.
But now a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybe. Also, if you want to compliment us by snail mail, you can send your letters where you've whispered nothing but sweet nothings into the envelope, covered it in perfume and kisses to our P.O. Box 7127 Reservoir East, postcode 3073 in Victoria, Australia. Now, Jack?
So, I would love to review for everyone today Fallout 76.
People might be thinking, hey, isn't that a bigger game than Spyro?
Why are the Thumb Cramp Brothers only reviewing that and not Fallout 76, a massive game that came out recently? Well, I'll tell you why. 3 days ago, I received a copy of Fallout 76. Excited.
Yes.
Play it for Thumbcramps. Give it a little review. Chuck it in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Game is 60 gigs.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's a big game. It's got a lot of heft.
Big. Yeah, big boy.
Yeah,
like money bags as gem bags. After I beat this game,
yeah, had to go through our library, start deleting games.
Exactly. I had to make some room. Okay, some games they got kicked out. They got the boot, and finally had enough room. I'm like, install. It's like you need to install an update, otherwise it won't be able to work. I'm like, of course, a little update.
Whatever, day one update. Sure,
yeah. 60 gigs. The size of the game
again
needed to be installed. Well, I'm like, well, I'll let it go overnight. You know, can't take that long. Australian internet. It did. By the time I was checking again the next day, which was at about 1 p.m., it still had about maybe 9 gig to go. Like, that's fine. Not a problem. Whatever. I'll wait.
Exactly. It's like, maybe 90 minutes. Mm. We go out for dinner.
Come home. Chuck it on. Hey, the update's finished. Excellent. Press play. I'm like, oh, time to play some Fallout 76. Got to review it tomorrow, but that's fine. I'll be able to get some time in.
Yep.
Boot up the game. It's like, you got to make a profile. I'm like, okay, make the profile.
Of course.
It's like, cool. Installing 30%. I'm like, installing what? It had to install the 60 gig update it had just downloaded.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
It was taking an hour to do 10%.
Oh.
So I never got to play Fallout 76. I still don't know what the game's like. But here's my review of loading, of installing Fallout 76. Okay, so there were four loading screens that it cycled through when it was installing. There was a screen that showed a lovely autumn valley.
Yeah.
One that showed a plane near some houses.
Yep.
One that showed a burnt down shack, and one that showed some leaves in autumn. And it cycled through them again and again and again over the course of a million years. There was one piece of loading text, which was up in the top right corner, that said, hey, use the survival guide to learn how to play Fallout 76. It's Reclamation Day. I don't know what the survival guide is. That is a mystery to me. That did not change. The disc seems like it's basically worthless. Buy this game online. On installation alone, buy the game online. And something that a friend of the show, Adam, pointed out to me is that, so Fallout 4, when it was installing, it had little videos that went through each of the your specials, so your stats in the Fallout games, your strength, your perception, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and had little videos that went for about 5 minutes of each that it cycled through so that you learned what everything meant in the game. Fallout 76, however, has four different shots of scenery.
Which scenery are you most excited to play in?
The one with the plane looked cool, but I know I can't get in the plane. I know I'll probably just be able to go up to the plane and awkwardly walk around it. Other than that, the box was nice that it came in. Quite liked the art on the front. Fallout 76 is a pretty good title. I can't wait to play it. So, as a loading screen goes, there was stuff going on, I guess. I'll probably give it...
This sounds like a three thumber.
Yeah, maybe like a two thumbs and a knuckle.
Two thumbs and a knuckle.
Because I've seen some bad loading screens in my time. At least there was stuff to observe and stuff to see.
Yeah.
However, the length.
The length. Maybe just two thumbs. Two thumbs.
That's inspired me to.
Hang on a second, though. The length, two thumbs. However, this was basically near launch day.
Yeah, that's true.
And so having to sit through all these loading zone, like loading...
it was various updates and then installations.
Yeah, which is very, very close to launch. Still for two?
Maybe one thumb.
Yeah.
Because I actually still haven't played it. And I fear getting in that there'll be some extra step I haven't figured. So let's go one thumb as the loading screen goes. So that's my review of the Fallout 76 loading screen.
I just remembered that there was a mini game inspired that made me bite the controller, so I'm putting it down to two thumbs and a knuckle.
We're dead dropping like flies at ratings.
What was the
It's a minecart thing.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, no. Because it controls like an early 2000s platformer that put you in a minecart. There's two tracks. You got to select, you got to collect 50 things. Mm-hmm. And.
Do you have to collect them over the course of a timed minecart run?
No, it's one minecart run if you and everything kills you in one hit.
Of course. No,
and then we... you start, every time you start, the guy's like, oh, you're having trouble with the minecart? Well, then try pressing X to jump or circle to shoot. The cannon. Good luck.
Sounds maybe keep dropping that.
Two thumbs maybe?
Two. Just two.
Four thumbs. It's good that it's making me feel now.
I guess you're feeling something. Yeah, that's all right.
Three thumbs. I can't remember what the original score is, but I've decided three now.
Three? Is that settled on three?
Three. Settling on three.
I'm upping my... sorry to keep swapping those scores around. I'm upping my Fallout 76 loading screen to two thumbs because the length of time, it is not a game I want to play. It doesn't look good. It looks like a very bad game. But the amount of time I've put into getting the game in a position where I can play it is going to make the game better because I'm going to be playing it. I'm going to be like, Jackson, you wasted 3 days playing getting this ready to play. It's got to be good. So yeah, two thumbs.
All right. Okay. Well, boys, it seems that I've had a better experience this week than you two, perhaps combined.
Wait, are you reviewing this as a game or as a loading screen?
As a loading screen.
Two thumbs as a loading screen. Surely it's a three. At least it was rotating pictures. Spyro has really long loading times. I just remembered. Every time you die, it comes up with reigniting and the letters spin. Two thumbs.
Oh my god. No, I'm staying with two thumbs. Because at least it had a bar to tell me how much it was loading.
Yeah.
It is a video game sin to be like, you'll never know, idiot. One day the game will just start. You know those loading screens where it's like loading and you're like, am I here for an hour? Am I here for a minute? I can't leave.
I do know that.
I just got to wait.
Imagine if it was a black screen and just said in gold letters, in the world of dragons, ... Or potentially if it said, continuing your adventure, ... Or maybe reigniting, ... And those letters spun. For how long? Hard to say. Also, you're entering a world? Imagine you're entering a world and it says now entering Icy Cavern. And there's a picture of a dragon flying. How long is he flying for?
That's fair.
If you press circle, he breathes fire, but that's the only control you have.
Hey, that's something at least. I'm sticking with two.
Right. Well, again, I definitely now feel that I have played a game better than both your times combined.
Yeah. I played this game pretty good.
So I played a game called Into the Breach.
Sure.
I played on the Nintendo Switch, but I know you can get it on Steam for the PC. It's made by the same people that did FTL, Fast and Light. And I really enjoyed this game. It's a sort of like an isometric grid game. It's like every level is played on an 8x8 grid. And it's very, very, very simple. And because it's very simple, it's also very, very addictive. The premise of the game is that these alien monster bug creatures called Vex have come down, and you're in charge of a group of three mechs to destroy them. So it's Mechs v. Vex. It's basically just Mechs v. Kaiju, but we can't say Kaiju because that's copyright, so they're Vex.
It's cool that you played a video game adaptation of Pacific Rim.
But basically.
Trademarked.
But if Pacific Rim was kind of crossed with Starship Troopers.
Okay.
That sounds cooler.
Because they're bugs. Every sort of mech has different abilities, and even the Vex have different sort of abilities where they're attacking, and they'll start their move first. It's kind of turn-based in a way.
Yeah.
And so it's like the Vex will have their turn, you'll have your turn.
Yep.
And you can kind of plan it all out. So it's like you can see what they're attacking, so you can be like, well, I'm going to move my character here and fight hard, because I'm doing this, that means they do this, and you can kind of set things up so that they attack each other. And so, you know, seeing a Vec kill a Vec, you're like, I'm the best at this chess. And it's really nice, but unfortunately, if you're stupid like myself, by making things move, you can then make things worse, and then you realize that you are the cause of civilians dying, and you're like, ah! Whoops.
How do you find, because I have played this game, but when I played, I only used the base mechs that, mm-hmm. that you start with, and yep. then as you play, you unlock different mechs with different abilities. Every time I tried to play with another mech that wasn't the main ones, I sucked because they all have these like new unique abilities, yeah. and I'm like, I don't know how to learn these. No, how do you find playing with like the other mechs?
When you have a bit of patience and you work out the difference,
yes. look,
that is a big flaw
of different sort of mechs. I'm finding a lot more fun, and because you're limited to what sort of mechs do. Say your base mech is you got like a punchy boy, a artillery lad, and I forget what the other one does.
Isn't it like a healing boy, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. And that's kind of your base team.
What a boring mech. Oh, I heal.
I'll heal.
And at least it's medics in team games make sense. Healing mechs? Shut up.
Doesn't need to be that big.
Make it little.
And then the next team you get were basically all fire-based, which I really enjoyed, because okay. you're basically just scorched earth. And then another one you have, like, all right, you got like a punching lightning fist, you got a rock thrower, and then you got someone who's a grappling boy. And so each one has different strategies. And that's why I really like it, is because you can keep going back to it. Because there's like four different levels, as it were, mm-hmm. sort of play through. And if you complete your objectives and your secondary objectives, you yeah. get more bonuses, so that like going into the last level, you can do really well in. And because, you know, you have these different combinations, you can kind of keep going back and playing it. And failing and like losing, it's nice that you can kind of like, it goes, all right, it's failed, this world is lost, that sucks, let's try again, back to the start, i.e. a different parallel like world, but we can save one pilot and you can choose which pilot you want to do, because each pilot has different abilities. And so again, it's really nice, unique, in that it's a lot of customization. And that's why I really, really like it. Because even though you're like, I just spent maybe an hour or two playing this kind yeah. of one kind of playthrough, it goes back to the start and you can easily just jump back in again. And yeah, for that, it's really easy to waste a lot of time on. You just pick it up and play. If you have, I don't know, a lot of time to kill, time just goes.
What are you playing it on, sorry?
Switch.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear.
So this is sort of perfect for, say, touring, long plane rides or bus rides or car trips. Because I played this a lot.
Work meetings.
Yeah, work meetings.
Dinner with your mum.
Right now.
While you listen to your favourite podcast.
But I thrashed this in the UK a lot when we were going around. And so it was very easy to kind of lose yourself for almost like 6 hours in one sitting. To be like, okay, I need to stop this because, you know, we've arrived where we need to arrive, or it's now well and truly 4 a.m. and whoops. And again, I thrashed it again because me and Jack went on tour for our other show, D&D's yep. for Nerds. And it was a really easy thing to play on a plane. Because yep. like, going from, you know, Sydney to Canberra, it's like 40 minutes. You're like, oh, yep, cool. Okay, it's done. And so, yeah, very, very easy to jump in. The gameplay is very simplistic, but it's also very, there's a lot of maneuverability around it that you can kind of have a lot of fun with it.
Cool.
So thoroughly enjoy it. I got it for the Switch, which is really great for portability. But, you know, if you want to play it on PC, it is available there. Love the game. I would keep playing it. Will keep playing it. Five thumbs out of five.
Five thumbs.
Wow.
I went on How to Beat, and yeah. it was kind of like, for the main storyline, like 4.5 hours to complete it. 77.
So ooh.
it's a fun game. There's a lot to do in it. If you get bored, just play up. You know, just switch out your play style. And again, it feels fresh again, because as you were saying, Jack, you play with the original crew. Mm. You're like, I'm pretty good at this. You play with the next crew. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it makes you want to.
One of them was like a helicopter that could only go sideways, and I kept going sideways into buildings full of civilians.
Yeah, and because of that, to me, it's a lot of fun, because now I'm like, ooh, what can I do? Mm. And I start playing around with it, and it's a lot of fun.
Great. Yeah. Five thumbs.
Five thumbs. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Would recommend, especially if you kind of like that style of play.
I spent the entirety of your review thinking about Spyro, so I'm going to bump my 2 back up to a 3.
Okay.
All right.
So that brings today's episode to a grand total of 10 thumbs.
10 thumbs.
10 thumber.
Nobody had any half thumbs or knuckles.
Famously, knuckles. It's good. It's good. I'm looking forward to finishing Spyro 2 and feeling nothing. Jack, I'm sure you're looking forward to...
I can't wait, but I can, because I don't want to play the game. But I'll play the hell out of it, because it took me 3 days to get here.
And Zammit, I'm sure you will continue to play Into the Breach until you don't want to play it anymore.
100%. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
See you later, thumb crampos.
Thump cramps.
Chronic crampers.
Thump cramps.
We're rebranding.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.